Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. Not only are we continuing our four-state Comic-Con series, but we are starting our four-state Comic-Con panel series this week as well. So we got a sub-series going on with our main series. So, not to mention, this panel is the 25 years of Scream panel. That's right. That panel is going to be first, and for those of you who know, this was the first panel to be presented at the four-state Comic-Con's 2022 event. So, it's late at night, folks. Please bear with me. Me trying to get this done. So, let me go into the meat and potatoes of everything before we get into the actual panel. This panel is presented by Donna Jean from Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror, and her guest for this panel is Nancy Ann Ritter. So let me go into kind of, before we get into the panel, I have to at least go into this brief little topic for all of you coming from Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror, or if you're a new listener to the show, or you're a returning listener and just forgot about how we deal with panel episodes. So therefore, this is the disclaimers and the context for what you're about to hear. So, number one, this is a panel episode. Everything is presented here is presented by Donna Jean and Nancy themselves. Their viewpoints and what they discuss about is their stuff, not ours. Whether it aligns with what we talk about or not is irrelevant. We're just sharing their content to as many people as possible. Number two, this is the audio version. So, not only did we have to boost the audio a little bit so you're able to hear things, we kind of trimmed everything down a little bit. I think about overall a minute of audio was taken out. Let me explain on that. Nothing Donna Jean said or Nancy said was taken out. What was taken out was bits and pieces of dead air or questions or comments from the audience that the microphones could not pick up. Or if they did pick up, I could not boost well enough or clean up well enough for all of you to hear. So therefore, it was best to clip out that little bit. So again, about a minute was taken out of this whole panel, this audio version. If you want to, for whatever reason, you're like, but Rev, you cheated us. You took stuff out. Hold up. The full version of this panel is available on YouTube. The link to that version in the description down below. So if you feel like you're getting cheated out of a minute of audio stuff that I could not in any way, shape, or form fix, you could go down there and see the full video yourself. And you could write any comments in that video and whatever in regards to that. So that's why this one is only a little bit shorter in regards to, in comparisons to that one. So I just wanted to let you all know, it's what I tend to do with the audio panels I bring to all of you. Now, that seems to be about it. So take care. I don't want to say take care. I'll see you all on the other side of the panel. So let's go. Cue the panel.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Donna Jean, and I am with the one and the only girl in the bathroom, Nancy Ann Ritter.
Hey, guys. So excited to be here and so excited to get to be with you guys. Thank you for coming.
I have something one up on you guys. Is I have a podcast called Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror, and it's on a channel called Nerdbox. And not long ago, I interviewed Nancy Ann, so I got some pretty awesome and amazing stories. And I would like to start out before the Q&A by asking Nancy to share with you how she actually first got the role in Scream, because it's a pretty fun and awesome story.
I had just moved to Los Angeles, graduating from Northwestern University, and my friend at the time, Julie Pleck, was Wes Craven's assistant, and I'd only been in LA like 5 months, I was 22, and Julie called and she goes, "How tall are you?" And I said, "I'm 5'7", and she said, "That's perfect." They had narrowed the part of Sydney down to five actresses, one of them being Nev. And the big audition day with Wes Craven, the average height of each of the girls was 5'7". So they wanted me there to stand in for Sydney, just to help Wes Craven set up the lights and camera. And the first half of the day, I stood behind Wes just because he had a good view of the monitor. And then the two scenes were this first scene where Skeet crawls in through her bedroom window, and they have that little G-rated on top of the nightgown action. And then the second scene was when the killer first calls Nev Campbell, and they had little makeshift sets set up. So the four, Nev went, Brittany Murphy also auditioned that day, a girl from My So-Called Life, AJ Langer, and then a girl named Megan Ward. So those four went, and then Alicia Witt, who's a redhead. So kind of halfway through the day, when he was setting up just the lighting and camera, Wes turns around to me and he goes, "Do you know the lines to the two scenes?" Because I'd been watching the actresses. I said, "Yes." And this particular time, he wanted me to do the whole scene as Sydney for the camera and lights, just to get it set up. And then the phone call scene. So I did both scenes, and right when I finished the phone call scene, Wes Craven beelined up to me, and he put his hand out and he goes, "That was excellent." And he went to go check on one of the actresses was in hair and makeup, and right as he left the room, he was like, "Have her read for one of the bathroom girls." And the casting director at that point came running over, and she said, "Once we finish casting all the lead main characters, we'll bring you in." So initially I auditioned for the cheerleader. I've been acting since I was 9. The cheerleader audition was literally the worst audition I've ever given. And then ultimately cast me as the girl in bathroom, the sidekick to the cheerleader. And it all happened super, super fast. Like they called to say that I'd gotten the bathroom girl like on a Tuesday, and I was on the plane by Thursday. We were able to shoot the scene. We got it done on a Friday. They shot Nev Campbell's reaction shots to the mean things that the cheerleader is saying. They shot her reaction shots on a separate day. So on our day, it was me and the cheerleader. And they had just finished shooting Henry Winkler's getting stabbed, the principal getting stabbed scene. So I saw him in his bloody shirt. And then we did our scene. And they kept us through the weekend in case he needed to get extra shots, but he got everything he needed on one day. So
you've been away from the genre for a long, long time, and I know when I interviewed you, you seemed so surprised that there was so much love of the bathroom girls. You guys have love for the bathroom girls. Bathroom girl love. Does anybody have any questions in specific they would like to ask?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Hold on one second.
I heard you. So my favorite, okay, so I'm a horror movie virgin. I have an answer. So I guess I would first say Psycho was the first one, and I love Norman Bates, and that scared the tar out of me. And now I am finally ready to dive into all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, but when I was younger growing up, I was just too afraid. But yeah, Psycho would have been the first one, and then I only recently just watched the first two Halloweens. And now I really, now that I'm starting to do the conventions and everyone asks me, have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street? And I say no, so then I feel so, so I'm excited to just kind of dive right in and watch everything. And what I wanted to know, what was your favorite horror movie? If you had to pick one. So many. Oh wait, Child's Play? Yeah. And that's Chucky, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm an open book.
You should never mistake, like, Jason and Michael. You just don't want to do that.
Okay.
Different kinds of masks.
Okay, oh, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep. So my first, with Wes asking me specifically to audition, I was so shocked when he said, when he was like, that was excellent, and I didn't expect anything from that specific day. So he just was so gentle and just down to earth and so sweet and very embracing of me. And that was just very, it was my first movie, so it was just very shocking just how lovely he was to me. And then when I came in to audition, he was there in the audition. And since I wore a little mini skirt and a little shirt that said Girls Rule, and he started bowing to me. And so he just was just amazing and lovely. And I'm not a smoker, but somehow at the rap party, I was smoking cigarettes and Wes was like, hey, can I have one? And he just was so talented. And I feel so grateful I got to work with him. And then I became closest friends with the cheerleader, just because we were together and we both were living in Los Angeles. So she and I spent a lot of time. And at the time, she was living with Skeet Ulrich. I think they dated maybe for like 2 years or so. So they lived in a little house in Hollywood Hills, and we spent Thanksgiving together. So because of being good friends with the cheerleader, Skeet would have been the other one I got to know the best. And David Arquette, I remember David Arquette is hilarious, and we had lunch with him, and he had amazing stories. And just getting to be, when they shot the bathroom scene, the main actors hadn't arrived yet, but Skeet and David Arquette did, and that was great. And then probably the most amazing thing to me was when we had the rap party, Courtney Cox got up on stage, and she's a really good drummer. So I was just like, that's amazing. And I told her, I was like, you did a great job. And she was like, no, I was really off my game tonight. But the rap party was super fun because the editors, because the movie had Drew Barrymore, Henry Winkler, and Courtney Cox, I wish I could have it here to show, but they made a tribute reel to each one of them, and they played it at the rap party, and it was, you know, with Drew Barrymore from E.T. forward, and Courtney Cox, like the little Bruce Springsteen music video, and then Henry Winkler with Fonzie, and that was just amazing. And then they did showed a blooper reel, like Wes would, the first time Nev goes to the closet to open the door in her house, and it's just the hangers. Wes was hiding in the closet and scared the bejesus out of her. So just the, just all of those hijinks, and it just getting, the crew was such a nice crew. Where we shot in Santa Rosa, just north of San Francisco, was so beautiful, and I'd never been up in Northern California, so it feels so long ago. It almost feels like just kind of a miracle that it happened, and very magical, and then just amazing to see I've only seen Scream 2, but I'm excited to see Scream 3, 4, and then obviously the new one. And I just feel really grateful to have been a part of, even though I'm such a tiny part, just to be a part of the Scream franchise. And yeah, there were no egos on set. Just the producers, everybody was just so lovely. And so it was a great first movie experience to have.
if you could play any other role in the original Scream, any other role, who would it be and why?
Probably, I know I wouldn't get cast as Sydney, but I love all of them, Tate, Rose McGowan, and Courtney Cox, but I guess I would say Sydney just because of the arc of her character and all, I mean, she's just all the horrible stuff that's happening to her that whole week and having lost her mom, and just as an actor, that would be so fun to go through her whole journey. And I think Neve Campbell did an amazing job, so that would be fun just to dive into that character, just because she has to go through such a big emotional journey, and yeah, I think that would be the most fun, for sure.
Now, you've said that you started out in the theater at 9?
At 9 years old. I grew up just outside of Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. had a great professional theater scene. So once I started doing plays at 9, I just went from play to play to play to play. And then I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, a performing arts high school in Washington, D.C. And that was an amazing school to be at, because then theaters like the Kennedy Center, a lot of the big professional theaters would, if they needed a teenage kid for a specific play, they would come audition us, and so I got to do really amazing plays and voiceover work, and then going to Northwestern University, and then straight to LA. I always thought I would just stick with theater, so the going into movie and TV was a really new thing for me, and then I stayed there for 5 years and then moved to New York for 12, and I'm gonna move back to New York. But what was fun with New York is, you, as long as you're in either city, LA or New York, I had just as many movies. When you have a movie, they'll cast out of both LA and New York, so they're looking at actors in both cities. So I never felt like living in New York that I was missing out on audition opportunities in Los Angeles, and I have a commercial agent in New York, and then I have a theatrical agent for film, TV, Broadway, off-Broadway, and then on-camera commercials and voiceovers. I definitely want to keep doing theater, and then the film and TV is a newer challenge. If you go to IMDb, I have very few credits. I made a very bad marital decision working on a film called Charlie's Party, and my husband from that film became physically abusive for the 6 years. So I totally had dropped out from acting for a long time, just trying to make it through the marriage and then get rid of him. So now I'm fine. I'm finally ready to move back up to New York and then just resume auditioning and acting. So, but I'm so embarrassed. Like, I have really successful friends in TV and movies, like big producers, writer friends, and my writer friend, he's like, when I was still in LA, he's like, you get a part like every 5 years. He's like, oh, way to go. So the theater always kept going, but now with going back to New York, I'm just excited. I've auditioned for amazing movies and TV, and I have great stories about all of that, and it's been a really fun journey, and the thing I've found one of the things interesting is, it is a competitive business, but there are so many opportunities with auditions, and I almost liken it to every time you get up to bat, like in baseball, every time you get a chance to hit the ball, you might strike out, but the more auditions you have, eventually you start booking jobs. And so I've never felt like, that it's too much or too much competition. I've always felt that there are plenty of opportunities for everyone to go around, but it is very competitive. For sure.
Does anybody have any questions? Because I can keep rolling with them if you don't.
tell us about the current project you just finished?
Okay, so I've got three, well, two independent films that are two horror films that'll start shooting this summer, one in Indiana and then one, not sure where the other one's gonna film. And all of that is through, when an agent called me to do these conventions, suddenly the Girl in Bathrooms fan base grew by like thousands of people. And so filmmakers have been reaching out to me to do their independent horror films. So I have two of those coming up. And because of the marriage, I didn't just come from a current project just because of the bad marriage. So the last stuff that I did was when I was still living in New York. But yeah, so these two horror films, and the fans have been amazing, and just connecting to them on social media has been really fun for me. I never knew there'd be a fan base for the bathroom scene and for the bathroom girls. So that's been really fun and nice. And I would love if the cheerleader, Leonora is her name, if she would, I don't know if she wants to do conventions, but it would be so fun if she would want to do them with me, and then we would both be together. But
I could see a photo op happening, yeah. Both of you in costume.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would just be so fun.
If you come by the table, my table, there's a great doll maker who makes dolls, and she specializes in horror film dolls. So she made a Girl in Bathroom doll as a gift for me. So I have that just in a little display case, but it literally looks just like my bathroom girl character. And this is my first convention that my agent got me, so I'm just so excited. Everyone's been so nice coming to the table, and just getting to meet all of you guys has been really fun for me.
And you're all welcome to stop by the table and say hello when we're over there too. A couple of you already did, so thanks for that.
We have a big, they did, we have a big scream. When the movie came out in 1996, I'd flown home to Virginia to take a bunch of family and friends to see it at the multiplex. And my dad went up to the multiplex manager and he said, "My daughter's in the movie," and saying that I played the bathroom girl. And the manager was like, "Here," and he gave, you can see it at the table, the huge Scream banner, like not even a poster, but this huge banner. And he was just gave it to my dad, and I always had it with me moving from LA to New York. And so I was so excited when I got asked to do the convention. So it's hanging up the big Drew Barrymore face. And then we have some great smaller posters and pictures and, this is so exciting just to be here with you all, and then seeing all the different booths and stuff.
So do you find that when you have gone out for the auditions, are they looking for a character that's kind of like the bathroom girl? Because, you know, in that scene, she was the nice one.
Yeah.
You know, she was the one kind of saying, "Hey, you know, let's give her a break. Her mom did just die." Do you find you're kind of stereotyped into that?
Not at all. I mean, a lot of the characters I audition for are quirky, well, sometimes dramatic characters or comedic, but I haven't been pigeonholed, which is nice. I mean, they're always quirky and to some extent, but there was a movie I did, Charlie's Party, that had a lot of dramatic and comedic stuff to it. I love just drama, just straight drama. But yeah, I've gotten to play a nice, diverse array of characters and then audition for amazing projects as well. So it's always been very varied and diverse. So it's been fun just diving into different characters. And So no, I was never typecast as the bathroom girl. So.
So they don't always want to see you come in with the girls' rule shirt.
Right,
so
right, right.
You're okay there. What made you make the transition from theater to movies? You know, how did you get involved with even knowing about screen?
Well, I always thought I would stick with theater and go straight to New York City. So, but my acting teacher at Northwestern University was just very encouraging to go for me to go to LA and give it a try with movies and TV. And so I was kind of shocked that I went to the West Coast, but I did, and it turned out well for the 5 years I was there, and then 12 years in New York and going back to New York. I think with the film and adding film and TV was just a new challenge, because it's so different from obviously being on a set with the camera right here. In fact, Wes Craven, when we were first, when we were doing our close-ups in the bathroom scene, they took each mirror out and put the camera right up as the mirror. And when I started doing my little makeup stuff, Wes came into the bathroom and he goes, "You look grotesque." He says, "It looks like you're playing to a Broadway theater of like 1,000 people." And he was laughing, but I knew exactly what he meant. And I like tough love anyways. I like a director being very direct and straight. And so once I kind of made that adjustment, and then Wes would say, he would just keep saying, "Shave it, shave it, shave it," just to make it as small, you know, coming from the theater, everything's kind of larger than life. So just hearing him off camera, just shave it, shave it, shave it. And the one line where I say, "You're evil," she watched her mom get butchered. He wanted that super soft. And so he was kind of just like coaching us on the sidelines. And I was very, very nervous. It was just very technical. In the bathroom stall, they had to put a crew guy behind me straddling the toilet, because they didn't like when each of us come out of the bathroom stall, the door was, you can hear the door in the scene, each bathroom stall door, but it was making a really loud noise. So the crew guy was behind me straddling the toilet, but then there wasn't enough room for me in front of him, and because the bathroom door kept opening. So he held me by the back of the purple shirt while we were doing the lines in the stalls. And then when it was my turn to come out and say, what would Sydney want with Steve? She has her own bubble up boyfriend, Billy. Then he would let my shirt go. And then you hit your marks on the floor, but then with the close-ups on the sink or at the bathroom mirror, they put plywood on each of our sinks so that if we touched the plywood, we knew we were leaning forward too much. And then they had dangling red tape from the ceiling, also in our eye line, to not lean too far forward. So I literally felt like I was in a straitjacket, because I didn't I didn't want to mess up any of the movements. So just learning how to do, I have such admiration for movie actors, because it is such a different ball game from theater, and I still have a long ways to go to just feeling comfortable in front of a camera, and then just making it as stripped down as I can. But it's fun to be able to bounce back and forth from theater to TV, commercials, voiceover, and films. So it's been an adventure for sure. Oh, there's Ghostface. Oh no, oh all no. Right. You all better dive under your chairs. I love it. Are you Skeet or Matthew Lillard? We don't know. We'd have to pull the mask off. But have you, do you all, I'm just so curious, do you remember, because you guys are so young, where you were when you first saw the first screen? Did you see it on DVD? Well, your DVD. So did you mostly see it at home on DVDs? The DVD. What did you think? The Drew Barrymore. This is a fun little.
Now she said she's never seen it.
You have. Now are you going to go? I mean, not peer pressure, not to apply peer pressure. It's so good. The opening scene, it is scary, but there's a lot of fun stuff, very comedic stuff as well. But the Drew Barrymore scene, that was the first thing that they shot, and it took about 5 days. When they were doing our bathroom scene, do you remember when she's hanging, Drew Barrymore's hanging from the tree? So that was all like a dummy doll. And in the makeup trailer, they had her head still in there, and it, of course, looked just like Drew Barrymore, and it was just sitting there on the counter. And but what I always thought the behind-the-scenes stuff was cool. So apparently Harvey Weinstein and Bob Weinstein, the producers, weren't quite sure of the footage that they were seeing if they wanted to keep Wes Craven on the movie, which is insane. So Wes, after they did Drew Barrymore's scene, he cut it together with the editor and sent it to Harvey and Bob Weinstein to be like, leave us I know what I'm doing. And the two Weinsteins were like really impressed with that whole first scene with Drew Barrymore, which I think is so well done. But once they saw that scene, then they left Wes Craven alone and let him do his thing. And then I don't know if you guys knew, which I didn't know this, Drew Barrymore was a silent producer on the film. And initially I'm sure you guys know some of this stuff. They first wanted Drew Barrymore to play Sydney's part. And it was her idea to switch to playing Casey, because she thought, since she was the biggest name in it, no one would believe, like, if she died, then the audience would be like, oh, anyone can die. So that was her whole, she was behind all of that decision making, and I thought that was so brilliant, because I can't think of another scary movie where the big star dies within the first 10, 15 minutes. Okay, I'm late to Game of Thrones. And then they bring them back. Yes. Oh, that's right. What were your all's favorites? Did you love Matthew Lillard? He's so good. They're all so good. Courtney Cox, all of them are so good. And so, I think, perfectly cast. I remember do you all remember Brittany Murphy from Clueless? And she's such a great actress. They had her audition for Sydney and Tatum. But they felt she did a great job. I saw her audition that day I was there for Sydney, but they felt she was too young looking at that time to play either of those parts. But she came to the premiere, and I was wearing a little leopard print, like slip skirt, and Brittany Murphy was there with her mom, and she was like, I love your skirt. And but yeah, it was just interesting to see all the different, I can't remember who auditioned, I think Matthew Lillard wasn't even auditioning, he was there with like his girlfriend, and they saw him in the waiting room, and the casting director was like, I'd like you to come in and read for Stu, and that's how that happened, and just all of that little behind the scenes stuff I think is so fun to hear about. You guys probably know so much of the behind the scenes info, I'm sure. Have you all seen other than one, what was your favorite so far? 2, 3, 4, or 5? 3 or 5. I haven't seen Scream 5. I'm so excited to see it. I'm so excited to see all of you.
I'm gonna tell you something that I might get lynched for.
No.
But since I volunteer at other conventions, I watched the first Scream for the first time, because last year I was told for a while I was going to be working in the Skeet and Matthew Lillard panel. So I watched it for the first time last year.
That's so.
And then I watched it again when I was going to interview you. So I haven't seen any of the other ones yet.
Well, and I've only seen Scream 2, so we'll have to watch 3 and 4 and 5 together.
The conversations of the behind-the-scenes stuff in that panel with Skeet and Matthew was hilarious.
I
didn't know Matthew Lillard had said that he came pretty close to being cast as Negan in Walking Dead.
I didn't know that.
And that was pretty much like, what a different character he would be.
That is amazing. But yeah, it's been fun watching all of the main actors, just their journeys and the rest of their careers has been fun.
Have you remained in contact with any of them?
So the cheerleader, we became really good friends in Los Angeles, and then she and I reconnected in New York City. And so there have been gaps in between. She's now in Austin, Texas, so I haven't seen her in a while. But we kept in touch, and when we were in both either LA and New York, would see each other. But then when Skeet broke up with Leon, the cheerleader, then I didn't really see him, and because my friendship was with her. So, but it was fun when they were still dating. It was fun to hang out with them. The cheerleaders, then the one constant. Yeah.
It would be really nice now that with the new Scream out, and there are Scream panels happening at a lot of cons. It would be great to get you in on one of those panels.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. I truly am amazed. I knew Nev and Skeet did the conventions, and I never thought that anyone would be interested in the Bathroom Girl, because it had been 25 years. But then I think with the 25th anniversary that came up in December, and then the fifth one coming out in January, was when the agent reached out to me. But I was really stunned, because I thought who's going to be interested in the girl in the bathroom? But it's been that's been yay. But it's been super fun. Just some of the fans have said how much with the bathroom scene that they identified, if they were bullied themselves in high school, that they really related to what Nev Campbell was going through. And then I was the nicer of the two of us, but just seeing it from that perspective and how different audience members have, you know, who they relate to of the characters, that's been super fun for me, just to hear what the bathroom scene meant to each person. And so it's been very unexpected to get to be here and getting to know a lot of the fans just on Facebook. And I've done, like I did with Donna Jean, I've done a ton of interviews for people's podcasts, like a ton that are already online. You can go to YouTube. They're on my Facebook page. It's just Nancy Ann Ritter, my name, and Instagram. And a lot of the interviews are up on Facebook or YouTube. And then I've got about 15 more that I've just get that people have asked me to do. So I'm always just amazed that there's a big interest in the bathroom scene, but I'll take it. If I'm only ever known as the Bathroom Girl forever, then that will be fine.
All the geeks and the nerds love the nice Bathroom Girl.
The nice one of the two of us. Yes, yes. I stand up for Nev a little bit. Yeah.
You do, and I think that's endearing. And also in any film that's become a franchise, I think so many of us we'll watch it so much that we get to know all of the characters, and really it's like it takes all of the drops to fill the ocean, so each character has its important place.
And I, with the first Scream, you know, you see the end credits, it's a pretty small cast, if you the main characters and then the rest of us, so that's kind of fun to be a part of a small ensemble of actors, and that's been special. And then Ghostface, I love that Ghostface is just sitting there. I love it. Are you gonna let us leave, or are we all gonna be stabbed as we walk by you?
Only the Bathroom Girls.
Only the Bathroom Girls. Some of the fans, I know you all wanna go and see everything. Some of the fans have been so funny, saying, because the Bathroom Girls survived, the first screen, then they should come back like in screen 6 or 7. I mean, obviously they'll just keep making screens, or the fans will say, what do you think the bathroom girl is doing now? And one fan was like, I think she's running her own bakery in Woodsboro, and that she gives a discount on cupcakes if they use the word pathetic, like the promo word is pathetic, since that's when I say at the very end, you are pathetic, that gets you a discount on a cupcake if you use that word. But yeah, it's been funny just hearing all the theories, and especially now with Scream 5, just people trying to say, oh, we think the girl in bathroom could be this character that, you know, that could come back. I mean, as the girl in bathroom, but trying to weave in connections to where they took Scream 5. So yeah, it would be totally fun to come back. We could come back as old ladies in the bathroom. But yeah, it is fun to see how they continued them through all the screens with, you know, some of the main characters. So,
well, we have about 3 more minutes. Does anybody else have a question?
Yeah. Mavis, hi. Do you want to know some other projects I've auditioned for? Okay. Do you remember the movie Hairspray, John Waters? So then they turned it into a Broadway musical, and my agent called me in New York. He's like, I know you're not a singer, but he said the casting people really want to see you audition for Penny Pingleton. And this was several years ago, and he said they know you don't sing, but they said we haven't decided if they want Penny to have a legit big Broadway voice or just a character voice. So I had to do the scene where her white mama is trying to deprogram her from liking the seaweed, and that really funny, I mean, it's an awful scene, but I had to do that scene. And then they had me prepare a 60s pop song, like My Boyfriend's Back, but since Penny falls in love with Seaweed, who's the young black boy, I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, which was pretty much an all black high school, and so we would sing the black national anthem a lot, and so I thought that would be perfect for Penny. It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing, and I did a little gospel march, and there were like 20 people, the producers, the director, there were about 20 of the creative team in the big audition room. But the song, well, anyways, to cut to the chase, so they called my agent, that the audition was super fun, and they said she was the best actor we saw for Penny, but we decided we want a girl with a big singing voice who can do that they wanted a legit, because sometimes they'll, for a certain character, they might just want a quirky a character voice, like when Matthew Broderick, he's obviously Matthew Broderick, but that was an amazing audition. There was, do you all remember the movie Signs with Joaquin Phoenix? That was an audition. So many commercials. I've done a McDonald's commercial, Chasing After a Chicken McNugget. Tons of movies, tons of TV, and it's just always constant. I mean, not right now because I'm down in Virginia, but yeah, when I'm in New York, you're auditioning almost every week for on-camera commercials, voiceovers, movies, and TV. Mavis, I'm going to have to make sure when I go over back to the table, write down all of the movies I've auditioned for, because I'm blanking right at the moment. But I've done some independent films that I really played bigger characters and learned a lot doing some of these independent films. It's been so fun going along this whole ride of being an actor.
Well, we are out of time. But if you guys know of any horror cons that look like they have screen panels happening, you can request that Nancy Ann Ritter be a part of that. request it to the owner. All the convention websites have places where you can contact them. It's all over Facebook and Twitter. So request Nancy Ann be a part of that. And thanks so much for joining us, and keep screaming.
Thank you guys so much. This was so fun, and have a great rest of the day.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that panel featuring Donna Jean from Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror and Nancy Ann Ryder. So, if you have any questions, comments, or whatever, feel free to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or leave a comment on our pinned post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And like I said, all the links, including the link to the video of this panel, will be down below. If you can't, for whatever reason, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify doesn't want you to hit those links and follow the proper links, guess what? We got you covered. Just head on over to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and everything should be there and will be clickable. Now, speaking of our main website, we used to have our archive sitting right on the right-hand side of that page. That way you could go back to whatever episode you wanted, go back to the beginning and check us out. But it vanished. We don't know why it's gone. I got to get on Podbean's butt to figure out why that little aspect is now gone. It is gone. So while we do that, I hope you enjoy any panels that we or any further content we will be putting out. We got like 3 more panels to release to all of you, plus loads more. We just put in our application for Otacon this year. We don't know if we're going to get it or not. But either way, stay tuned. Plenty of stuff to present to you. More 4-State stuff is on the way. So stay tuned. I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.